Brock, and you are listening to the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm the entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday to guide you through everything fun that's happening on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, shows, music, nightlife, food, and more. Thanks for coming along. You can find this show every week at lasvegassun.com/podcasts or at Apple Podcasts. It's March 4th, and I know what you want to ask me. Am I a little bit bummed that Cirque du Soleil's crazy new show run is closing at the end of this week after just 4 months? Yes, totally. Look, I know Run got very mixed reviews right from the start, and obviously it wasn't filling seats the way you'd expect a Cirque show in Las Vegas to do, but I thought it was very innovative, just fascinating from a creative standpoint, and I have a ton of respect for the level of risk its producers and cast and crew were willing to take. It was a huge experiment, and it didn't work out, but it was highly entertaining, in my opinion. If you didn't get to see Run at Luxor, essentially it's like a live version of an action movie based on a graphic novel. So the best example, I think, is the movie version of Sin City. It's violent, there are some bad words, and it's visually stunning, and that's how Run is, too. And Robert Rodriguez is obviously involved in both the movie and the show. If you want to revisit my first impressions of Run, go back to the November 20th episode of Sun on the Strip when I had Las Vegas Magazine editor Ken Miller on to talk about the big opening. We both thought Run had a future on the Strip, but that is not the case. Cirque announced it will close permanently on March 8th. That announcement came very late, about 10 p.m. Thursday night, and I wrote all about it that night at lasvegassun.com. I also asked if Cirque du Soleil will be running a different show in that theater at Luxor after Run is done, and the response is that nothing is confirmed, but they're hoping to make an announcement soon. My guess for the future of that room is that Cirque might be involved, but it probably won't be a show that was created by Cirque du Soleil. As I've written and said before, it could be The Illusionists, which Cirque owns but did not create, and that show will play in that theater for the annual One Night for One Drop charity fundraiser event later this month. Or it could be something else. I think Luxor definitely needs something in that big room before the year is out. Yeah, this is it. Last week to go catch Run. So if you liked it like I did, go see it again, or if you don't want to be one of those people who never got to see it, now's your chance. Over at Park MGM, Cher had to cancel 4 shows due to sickness. What would have been the last scheduled performances of her classic Cher residency at Park Theater over the weekend. I haven't seen anything official yet about rescheduling those dates, but I bet it's going to happen. Cher's had a presence in Vegas throughout her career, really, and I don't think she's going to let this residency fade out with canceled shows. That room is booked really solid with the other superstar residencies and other events, but I'd expect Cher to find her way back in the summer or fall. Okay, on to more promising showbiz news. As I reported yesterday, the Whitney Houston Hologram Concert Show has landed a residency at the Flamingo Showroom starting in April. It's called An Evening with Whitney. It's produced by Bass Hologram, which is the same company as Bass Entertainment. They're working in tandem with Whitney Houston's estate. It's going to open April 14th, and it'll play at 7 p.m. nightly, except Mondays. This is going to be a great lead-in to RuPaul's Drag Race Live, which will ostensibly play at 9:30 p.m. many of those same nights in that room. So Vegas is apparently ready for a hologram concert residency from a legendary artist who's no longer with us. This could certainly be the start of a new trend in strip entertainment. I'm sure we're going to be talking and writing a lot about this one in the coming weeks, but for now, you can read what I wrote this week at lasvegassun.com. Some other new shows and dates coming up. The annual Sans Cares Inspire charity concert at the Venetian is set for May 28th and will feature a performance from Sheryl Crow at the Venetian Theater. Tickets are on sale now. Boyz II Men announced a whole slew of new dates at the Terry Fader Theater at the Mirage from July through the end of the year. Those are on sale too. Sam Hunt has an album release party concert at Brooklyn Bowl on April 3rd, and you can buy tickets for that show anytime. Cedric the Entertainer continues AEG's run of really interesting bookings at Encore Theater. The comedian will do 2 shows on May 16th at the Wynn, and tickets go on sale this Friday. Tony Bennett, who has played that room in the last few years, is back at the Venetian Theater for three nights in August. Sarah Brightman's concert tour will also be at the Venetian for three dates in October, and tickets for both of those shows are on sale Friday. Christina Aguilera has announced the final dates of her Experience residency at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. There are six shows, November 11th through 21st, and those tickets are also on sale this Friday. Comic and TV and movie star Kevin James is back out on the road again and stops at MGM Grand in the Ka Theater on May 29th. Tickets to see Kevin James go on sale this Friday, March 6th. Duran Duran is playing a very familiar strip venue, the Chelsea at Cosmo, on May 1st and 2nd, and I bet you can figure out when those tickets are on sale. It's Friday. And Potted Potter, the Harry Potter parody show at the Magic Attic at Bally's Las Vegas, has been extended. It's doing great after 350 shows in that room, and now it's on the schedule into January 2021. Oyo Las Vegas is a property that has been making lots of moves in terms of entertainment. This is the former Hooters Casino on Tropicana Avenue, just east of the Strip, the Trop and MGM Grand. There was plenty of small room stuff happening there when it was Hooters, and now there's comedy and a mentalist show in the Attic showroom, and a different kind of dance-centric female review sexy show in the Night Owl showroom. It's called Cherry Boom Boom, and it was created by dancer, choreographer, and producer Lindsley Allen. She's probably best known as one of the original members of the Pussycat Dolls, which had successful modern cabaret shows all over the place and also morphed into a pop singing group with a bunch of hits. I got the chance to talk to Lindsley about this show, sort of a theatrical rock and roll take on burlesque. And she's done so many different things in her career, I had to do a little extra research to find all the shows and tours and movies and TV gigs she's had. And I nerded out big time when I found out she was in everybody's favorite so bad that it's good classic piece of Vegas cinema, Showgirls.
Oh my gosh, that was an incredible experience, working with Marguerite Derricks, working with some of the best dancers in LA at the time. That was the job to get. And it was quite a journey. You know, it was a couple months rehearsing in Los Angeles, and then it was a couple months in Vegas. And Tahoe, it's actually stayed, you know, in Tahoe in our own hotel rooms. And it just was beautiful. Like on the weekends, we would go. We weren't supposed to be sledding at that time because we were contracted not to. But it was an incredible experience. It had all of it. It had all the highs, all the lows. And then it ended up being, you know, it was one of those things, a little bit of a Hollywood machine where I saw them build up Elizabeth Berkley, and we became really good friends on the set. And then I remember opening night, she was in the bathroom, and I happened to walk in the bathroom, and she was crying, and she was upset because it was such a buildup of her to be like the next Sharon Stone. And I don't know if you remember, but at the time, it was considered a flop.
Yeah.
But then it turned into this huge, like, cult movie.
Right.
But at the time, her, you know, she got blamed for so much of it being a flop at the time, and her agents dropped her, and a lot of really kind of tough Hollywood story stuff. On the inside, we were having the best time ever, like just dancing with, you know, favorite dancers, night and day, getting paid, you know, so well. I bought my car, my first car in Los Angeles, you know, it just was super fun. It was a great job, great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the parts of that, I assume you were a dancer in the show, in the movie?
I was a dancer in the show, in the movie. I'm like literally right behind Elizabeth twirling. And
right.
Yes. I mean, and so many amazing people like Tyce Diorio was in that film, and Kevin Stay, and like, I mean, all the cream of the crop in L.A. It was really fun. We had a great time.
Those scenes where the they're actually doing the show, was that in Tahoe?
That was in Tahoe.
Okay.
Yeah. We shot that in Tahoe.
Yeah, that was a big deal. That was supposed to be a huge, because that
huge.
Was right, that was kind of right after Basic Instinct, and
Basic,
those kind of movies, right?
Exactly.
And Paul Verhoeven. This was supposed to be her big movie star making
role. That's right.
Coming from TV and stuff like that.
Yeah, she was like the sweet girl that was doing the TV show Saved by the Bell, and this was going to make her, you know, this huge star. And we watched it along the way as it happened. And, you know, there's no way one movie falls on one person, especially the actress's shoulders. So it had everything in it. It was super fun and kind of some dark stories as well.
It sounds like that was maybe one of your more memorable movie or TV jobs that you've had, but you've had a lot, right?
I've had a lot, yeah. It's been, did some choreography on Dancing with the Stars when I first created Cherry Boom Boom. That was really exciting and really fun, and done commercials and all kinds of fun things, you know, in my career. I've had a fortunate long dance career. Mm-hmm. So, but Showgirls was really fun because of the friendships that we made, and really the real TV show is behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot happened.
You got to tour with Prince also?
I did. I got to work with Prince for about 5 years altogether. He named me Darling Nikki. It started with a live show in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then it moved on to a group of us that worked with him doing America Music Awards and VH1 Honors. And then we toured. We did a Around the World in a Day tour. And that's where I met Maite, his wife, at the time. And we rehearsed in Paisley Park. And that was a life-changing experience to work with someone of that magnitude and a master. Yeah. And I still think of his words, you know, I still hear him, like, he's still teaching, you know, I still directing the show Cherry Boom Boom. There's so much of, like, that I've learned from a lot of great masters, and he certainly was one of them.
That's interesting to think about, because obviously he's not dancing was a part of his whole vibe and everything that he did, but I'm sure when you talk about those kind of people that you've learned from, most of them are choreographers or dancers also.
Yeah, or like directors. I mean, he did everything. He literally did everything and knew everything. He played every instrument. He was the director. He was the choreographer. I mean, Jamie King choreographed, but he was the mastermind, you know. And when I say learned from in that way, yes, choreographers like Vince Patterson and Michael Peters. But I learned a lot from some great directors as well, from Prince and George Bugeaud and Tim Robbins from the Actors Gang. And I use Commedia dell'arte in my show in Cherry Boom Boom. So dance and theater, you know, combined.
The Pussycat Dolls, what was your role in that whole operation? Because that was a big operation.
Yeah. Well, Robin Anton is the creator of Pussycat Dolls. I was one of the original founding members and co-artistic director and associate choreographer, dancer in the show. For like 7 years before it became the pop success that it is today. And that was really, again, starting something from the ground up. I mean, Robin and I worked really closely, you know, hanging the curtain over the back of the Viper Room stage so that we could have a dressing room, because they didn't at that time have other dance shows. It was all bands, you know. But we really just came together and developed it into something that it ended up being a huge success. We had no idea that it would be a pop group. We were just setting out to do what we loved. We both loved Bob Fosse and Faster Pussycat, and we just wanted to do like what we thought, you know, was interesting. So it was a really magical time.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of those days.
It sounds like Cherry Boom Boom takes a few cues from that, in that it's, you know, more of a modern take on burlesque and stuff like that, and very different from the other, like, female revues in town and the topless shows and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I don't think it's not really burlesque. Like, I don't even consider it burlesque. It's much more than that. It got sort of thrown into burlesque category because it's like a sexy show.
Everything in Vegas has to get categorized,
right? But it really is, and of course some things are going to be in some ways similar to Pussycat Dolls, because I had a huge input in Pussycat Dolls. So, of course, you know, we learned a lot. I learned a lot from trial and error being in Pussycat Dolls, and then after, and then building Cherry Boom Boom. But Cherry Boom Boom has a very different style to it and a very different genre, and it comes more organically from myself than what Pussycat Dolls was. I think it has, Cherry Boom Boom has that essence of, like, they're all star qualities, they're all high high standards. They're all amazing professional dancers and has like an LA grit to it. Yeah. But Cherry Boom Boom's more of my signature.
Yeah. Let's do the weekend rundown. Don't forget, you can always find extra entertainment options on and off the strip every Friday in my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. Chicago is playing the next few weeks at the Venetian Theater. Bruno Mars is back on the strip at Park Theater. Christina Aguilera is at Zappos Theater. Dwight Yoakam plays Encore Theater at Wynn. And Barry Manilow is back on the Westgate International Theater stage. Billy Idol, my interview subject on this show from a couple weeks back, is playing his last five dates this year at the Pearl at the Palms starting this weekend. Babyface is back at the Mirage. Rakim takes the stage at Brooklyn Bowl. And Leslie Odom Jr. is at the House of Blues on Sunday. The very fancy and very expensive annual Power of Love Gala is at MGM Grand Garden Arena on Saturday. And if you don't already have your tickets, you're probably going to miss it. It's honoring Neil Diamond this year and Toni Braxton, Andy Grammer, Sammy Hagar, and Chris Isaac are among the scheduled performers. UFC 248 is at T-Mobile Arena Saturday night. And college basketball starting to take over this week with the Pac-12 Women's Tournament at Mandalay Bay Event Center and the WCC Tourney at Orleans Arena. And the Jabberwockies open Timeless, the new version of their awesome show at MGM Grand on Friday night. Let's cross our fingers for great weather this weekend because several day clubs and pool parties are kicking off the season. Daylight at Mandalay Bay, Encore Beach Club at Wynn, Gemma at Nomad, at Park MGM, Liquid at Aria, Marquee at Cosmopolitan, and Wet Republic at MGM Grand are all opening their doors this weekend. And the big nightclub headliners this week include R&B group 112 doing their after party at Chateau, Tip and Gucci Mane are at Dre's, Lil Jon and Steve Aoki are at Hakkasan, Tiesto and Tyga are at Omnia, and Diplo is at XS. That's what I got, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Sun on the Strip. Follow all my Vegas entertainment coverage. That's stuff from The Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, and Las Vegas Magazine simply by visiting LasVegasSun.com and clicking on Entertainment. You can reach me anytime at Brock.Radke@LasVegasSun.com or find me on Twitter at BrockVegas3. Have a great week.